we're staying with sport and from Ireland's soccer women qualifying for the World Cup to Limerick taking another All-Ireland hurling title. What kind of year was 2022 for sport and what can we look forward to in 2023? Cian McCormack has been talking to Irish Olympic rower Afric Kyo and RTÉ sports journalist Damien Lawler. They began their conversation by first looking back at Argentina's soccer World Cup victory.
Do it for Messi, the spirit of Diego. They've waited and waited, and Montiel has scored! And Argentina are champions of the world for the first time in 36 years. Messi has his legacy, Messi has his destiny, Messi has the World Cup, and nobody can ever take that away from him. Absolutely sensational.
Oh, that was so much. Damien Lawler, as Dara Maloney said there, Messi has his World Cup and no one can take it away from him. But France nearly did. Did they leave it behind them or did Argentina get lucky?
I think Argentina just about were the better side, Keane. I don't think you could put it better than Dara did. But it was a game really of four halves. You saw the French labour to even get a kick of the ball in the first 40-45 minutes. And even in the first 20 in the second half, the game actually became boring at one stage until it just lit up and Mbappe just proved what a clinical assassin he is. I'd say he got maybe five kicks of the ball of note during that game and he scored four goals. Incredible.
Afric, were you happy to see Argentina winning?
Yeah, definitely. I think so. I think it's a great fairy tale ending for Messi. You know, it was great.
Well, we're here to talk about the highs and lows in the sporting year over the past 12 months. First, Damien, what were your highs?
Yeah, I suppose, look, I'm working as a professional sports journalist for a long, long time, Keane, and to do that, you have to have a really deep-rooted love of the games and all sports as well. So I have a personal one. My club, Killer One, won the county title in Tipperary for the first time in 37 years. Unfortunately, we were involved in the game with Clonalty Rossmore where young Dylan Quirk passed away just a few months ago now, and that really was the defining moment from a Tipperary point of view. But for our club to go on under that kind of cloud of emotion and win a county title was enormous. On a general level, the defeats of David Clifford in GEA, Limerick Hurlers, their continued excellence. The Meath Ladies footballers have gone to new heights. They've used COVID to become a team that nobody can really compete with to an extraordinary level.
And what's that about? You've written about it in your book.
Yeah, I've a book I'll call After a Storm, Keane. It's how the GEA coped through COVID. And during the 2 years of lockdown, I think the Meath Ladies footballers really assembled with a purpose and they built their conditioning, their physicality, their intensity, their S&C work. And they became a team with a game plan that nobody could compete with. And they're back-to-back All-Ireland Ladies Football Champions.
So lots of highs for four counties. Limerick in the hurling, Kerry in the football, Meath in women's football,
yeah,
as you've mentioned, Kilkenny and Camogie. Was it a standout year in terms of Gaelic games?
Yeah, I think so. I think David Clifford has, even to maybe last week, he's continuing his excellence with his club Fossa. I think Limerick have brought the game to new heights. I think Kilkenny and Galway have a huge rivalry with Camogie. And Meath have been so successful in ladies football that their best players are being looked at by Aussie rules now, and it's a major threat to GEA.
And the split season, did it work?
Yeah, I think it did. I think we're a week or two away from that being maybe smooth-lined completely. I think it'll be pushed back by another week or two, and I think you've got definitive calendars for inter-county and club. It is tough on county players, but you do get a break and people can plan out their lives as well.
Afric, your sporting highs centre on women in sport, and here's a reminder of what happened in 2022.
It's a first for Ireland and the first of many for Leona Maguire, an LPGA champion for the first time.
There's never an Irish player on the tour, let alone a winner, and hopefully there's a lot of people watching at home tonight with big smiles on their faces and little girls watching, hoping that they one day can hold a pot like that too.
The return of record breakers. Irish boxing teams have become accustomed to medal hauls. Amy Broadhurst had her hands full, draped with gold. The Dundalk woman was named boxer of the tournament.
It's been years of hard work. It hasn't just come overnight. I've been training for this for 20 years, so it's finally all coming to me now after years and years of the hard work, so I'm delighted.
Fan standing firm. Now it's O'Sullivan. And there's the run of Barrett. And Barrett's given herself a chance here. Amber Barrett in on goal. Amber Barrett! That was sheer brilliance.
Looks where the keeper is, and it's a toe poke into the far corner. It's a brilliant composed finish from Amber Barrett.
Everything about that was perfect.
Everything about that was perfect. George Hamilton there. But Afra Kyo, what we heard were three of your standout moments from 2022. Golf, boxing and soccer. Tell me about them.
Yeah, I think it's so hard just to pick one. When we look back on all of our success, you know, we have Leona, we have the boxers. And again, it's not just Katie and Kelly, you know, winning medals. It's all the boxers, the whole team coming together. And then you look at the Irish ladies soccer team, the historic qualification of the World Cup. There's just such a wide range of sports that we're doing well in, and it's great.
And why do you think there was so much success for women in 2022?
To be honest, I'm not sure. I think it's just there's just so much momentum. And, you know, obviously it's not happening overnight. These successes started years ago when all these young girls and women and the people around them who are helping them started working hard. But it's really all seems just to be coming into fruition now in the last kind of year or two.
Have you a theory on this, Damien?
Yeah, I've a 9-year-old daughter, and it's been unbelievable to bring her to all those soccer games. And she has so many role models now, and that you can actually see and actually can actually aspire to. I think structures are in place. There's finally proper PR and media around the games. There's finally improved coaching, and I think the structures are there, and I think the aspirations, everybody in Ireland is lifting the bar higher and higher. And we're a small country, but as Afrika and her colleagues have shown, we can compete on the world stage and bring back medals.
Well, as my science teacher used to say to me, for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction, and for every high there's a low. So Afrika, what was your sporting low in 2022?
It's really hard to actually find a low amongst all the success. So I think, you know, when you kind of look at it on the flip side, we had maybe Rhys McKennigan, our gymnast. He lost out in a medal at the European Championships. But then, you know, a couple of months later, he went on to become our first ever world champion in gymnastics. You know, and I think personally for us, we had a mixed year training wise. Some of us were back working and studying, and we kind of got away with it for a while. We got a silver medal at the Europeans, but then we kind of got a bit found out at the World Championships, and we ended up sixth in the A final. And, you know, in 2018, Emily Hegarty and I were the first Irish women's crew to make an A final. That was a huge success for us back then, and we celebrated that for a long time. And it's funny now to think that that's actually a disappointing result for us. But, you know, I think it also shows how far, you know, rowing has come in Ireland as well.
Damien, what were your lows at GAA, on and off the field violence?
Yeah, so there's probably a two-tiered answer, Keane. A lot of sadness with the, I suppose, forgive me for being niche about this, but with Gaelic Games family, sad passing of young athletes all over the country, just to name a couple: Red Oak Murphy, Damien Casey, Dylan Quirk, and lots more as well. A low would be maybe the increased threat of violence and discipline in minority cases in the GAA. You've had experiences in Roscommon and maybe Wexford where match officials and referees were targeted, and that's nonsense, and that has to stop straight away. And I think severe bans have been mooted. I think the GAA know that they have to change things in this regard.
Will this year be remembered for sports washing?
Yeah, sports washing has always been here. It's always been there. Back to the time of the Roman gladiators, to Mussolini's army, to I suppose back to the 30s, staging world events to try and mask what was happening on domestic ground. Yeah, it's certainly there with the Qatar World Cup, which was a fantastic success as a football tournament, but an absolute disaster as a human rights event. And I think that more and more you see it with LIV Golf, Newcastle United. There's so many cases in boxing as well. It doesn't appear to be stopping anytime soon. It's up to the media and other people to keep it in the public eye, because it's not going away.
Afrika, as a sports person, have you ever taken part in an event that was sports washed, or what would you do if you suddenly found out it was?
Yeah, well, so far, no. You know, rowing obviously hasn't got that great a profile for, you know, I suppose, to kind of be exposed to that. You know, we have a very kind of niche following, so sport washing, thankfully, has never been an issue for us. I think, you know, as an athlete, it is difficult, I suppose, to, you know, do anything about it. Like, your focus is your training, and where the events end up is kind of out of your power, I suppose. And I suppose it's like what Damien said, it's the media. The media are dealing with it, and they're the voice, I suppose. So I think it is hard for an athlete, I suppose, to kind of to have to do anything about it, really.
Could you take a stand?
Oh yeah, obviously I'm totally against it. It's not something you ever want to be involved in, but I think it's difficult for an athlete.
It is difficult for an athlete, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, athletes, like, it's even difficult for an athlete to get a balance in his or her own lives with all the training that you guys have to do. But there's nothing wrong with making a stand, but it is up to the media and public figures to try and shine a light on this. I mean, athletes have to... You saw everybody was asked about it initially in the World Cup, but went along and played the games as well. So you, no harm in making a stand, but unfortunately for an athlete, their priorities are fundamentally to get out there and perform.
Afric, you've said you see 2022 as a year of redemption for a lot of Irish athletes. So explain that to me.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously we had the Olympics and we had some great success out of that. But I think there was a couple of athletes that, you know, were a bit disappointed with their performances at the Games. Specifically, you have Sunita Puspura. She was 12th in the B final. And then this year, she came away with a bronze medal at the World Championships with Zoe Hyde. You think of Kieran McGeehan and Mark English, maybe, you know, they came back and won the silver and bronze at the European Championships. And also, like I've already said, Reese, you know, I think he said at the Tokyo Olympics, it was just his finger slipped on the pommel horse. And, you know, he ended up, you know, very disappointed as a result. But, you know, what a year for him, world champion.
Will you be remembering 2022 as a year of redemption then?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. All those great performances for those athletes. It's great to see.
How will you remember this year, Damien?
Intense, wall to wall. Started work the first week in January, finished up maybe the last week in December. It's been non-stop through all the sports, and I think it's been a hectic year. It hasn't been a vintage year in many respects, but I think it's the year of the Irish sportswoman.
Finally, let's crystal ball gaze a little bit. 2023, what's there to look forward to, Afric?
Well, I think, you know, apart from the Irish Women's Soccer World Cup, the Rugby World Cup, I think for the Olympic sports, it's going to be a lot of it is going to be about qualifying. We have the European Games coming up in the summer, and I think there's 7 sports that can actually qualify for Paris at those games. For rowers personally, we'll have our own separate European Championship, and then we'll have the World Championships in September, where it's our first opportunity to qualify for the Games as well.
So really a lot ahead of you over the next 12 months before you even start thinking about the Olympics the following year.
Exactly, yeah, very busy 12 months ahead.
Damien, what are you looking forward to?
Well, Afric mentioned a whole lot. I'm looking forward to seeing Ken Limerick be stopped in hurling. Who can stop?
Who will stop them?
I think our own County Keane could be the nearest to it, but that might be a year or two away just yet. They're at a level of conditioning and hurling skill that I've never seen before. Outside of everything, I would love to see Stephen Kenny's Irish soccer team make a mark now. He's a fantastic, genuine guy to meet. I love the way they try and play their games. If they could just shore up at the back and express themselves, but we're in the group of death, but you never know.
And that was Damien Lawler and Afric Kyo sharing their highs and lows in sport over the past 12 months. They were talking to Cian McCormack.